Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
Shalom, everyone. God bless you. We are today going to continue to study in the book of Habakkuk, this wonderful prophecy that we have, that had been given to us by divine inspiration, and how wonderful it is for us to be under the sound of the Word of God. And so we would like to continue today, dear brothers and sisters, with the study of the prophet Habakkuk. The study of the prophet Habakkuk is an interesting study, and especially as we arrive to the third chapter of Habakkuk. I would like, if you don't mind, please, to turn with me to this third chapter, and I want to read the 15 verses of this chapter. Actually have a few more verses. We're going to conclude it in another meeting later on, but at this point of time, please follow me as I'm reading Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 1 to 15. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigyonot. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had rays coming out of his hand, and there was a hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. Verse 7, I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oath of the tribes, even thy word Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the waters passed by. The deep uttered his voice, and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked, by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the pool secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. This is the word of the Lord, dear friends. It's so wonderful if we study the word of God to come to that, this kind of a passage that helps us to understand better the plan of God. But, you know, dear brothers and sisters, this third chapter of the prophet Habakkuk is not easy really to understand unless we connect with this various other passages, both from the prophets of Israel, as well as from the Brit HaChadasha, the New Testament, the Apostles' writings, and together, Old Testament, the Tanakh, New Testament, New Covenant, the Brit HaChadasha, together to understand the ways in which God's plan and program will surely come to pass. Reading such a chapter, most of chapter 3 of the prophet Habakkuk, causes you to kind of wonder, what does Habakkuk tell us here in this third chapter? You notice that we read in chapter 3 and verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigyonot. Now let's pause here for a moment. The reason I would like you to pause is because if we are to understand the third chapter of the prophet Habakkuk, we must be clear as to the previous chapters that he already presented before us. You remember, dear brothers and sisters, that when we started the study of the prophecy of Habakkuk, we immediately learned that this prophecy of Habakkuk did not necessarily present before us a message that Habakkuk spoke to our forefathers, the Jewish people, the people of Israel. No, but rather that in this prophecy of Habakkuk, we have a dialogue between the prophet, namely Habakkuk, and the Lord, the God of Israel. We also noticed that in this dialogue that Habakkuk had with Jehovah, with the Lord, he had a dilemma. He had a problem. He had a concern. You remember that his name Habakkuk comes from the Hebrew word lechabek. And lechabek means to embrace. He is called the embracer of Israel because he loved his people Israel. He was concerned from them, not only when they were obedient, but also when they were disobedient. And especially in this prophecy, Habakkuk in the first four verses of chapter 1 had a problem. You remember we read already, we looked at this, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? But I cried out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. You remember how it all started? This prophecy started with the cry of Habakkuk on behalf of his people who were fighting among themselves. So Habakkuk had a dilemma. Why doesn't God respond to him? Why doesn't he change the manner of the behavior of Habakkuk's people, Israel? And then, of course, as he was waiting on the Lord came up with an answer. Now you would think that the Lord will come with an answer, and the answer would be that God will make the hearts of the people of Israel very quickly to return to him. But apparently, instead of doing that, God said to Habakkuk, wait a minute, Habakkuk. In verses 5 and 6, he says, listen, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. This is Habakkuk 1, verses 5 and 6. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldees, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling place that are not theirs. So God came with an answer to Habakkuk and told him, Habakkuk, look, here's how I'm going to deal with my people Israel. I'm going to raise the Chaldees, these are the Babylonians, and these Babylonians, they are regarded as a terrible, bitter and hasty nation, and they're going to march through the land, and they're going to discipline my people, the people of Judah, the people of Yehuda. Now we remember that Habakkuk, when he presented this prophecy, he was speaking sometime about 630 B.C. The Jewish people were still in the land of Judah, Jerusalem. The northern kingdom was already taken by the Assyrian. And God, because of Judah's violation of his word, was ready to raise up a nation against them. And that was the Babylonian. Well, as we have already mentioned more than once, in 586 BC, finally the Babylonian came and took our people of Israel, the Jewish people, to Babylon and destroyed the temple in the city of Jerusalem, the Solomonic temple, on the ninth day of the month of Av. And the Jewish people were taken to Babylon. The temple was destroyed, the walls were broken down, the city of Jerusalem was burnt with fire, and our own Jewish people crying there by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept as we remembered Zion. Sad, sad commentary God gave to Habakkuk, even before the Babylonian rose to power. So God giving to Habakkuk is something to know about future events that were going to happen. So now that God gave an answer to Habakkuk, Habakkuk had a second problem. And the second problem of the prophet Habakkuk was from chapter 1, verse 12, all the way to the end of chapter 1, including verse 2, Habakkuk was praying to God, and he said to him, Thou art of a purer eye than to behold evil, and cannot look upon iniquity. He said to him in chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, How is it that you allow the wicked to devour the men that are more righteous than he? In other words, how is it possible, God? I don't understand. How do you allow the Babylonians, who are more wicked than Israel, to come and discipline Israel, the Jewish people, your own people? Well, Habakkuk, of course, had a second problem, and if you remember, in chapter 2 and verse 1, Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. So what did he do? He stood on the tower and he waited for God's answer. Well, it didn't take too long and God came with an answer to Habakkuk. And from chapter 2 and verse 2, all the way to the end of the chapter, God gave Habakkuk an answer as to what's going to happen in the future day. Remember, the Babylonians were not yet have risen to power. And God is instructing Habakkuk. It's almost like a dialogue between Habakkuk and the Lord, of the God of Israel. He's sharing with Habakkuk what will happen in the future day, and how eventually he will destroy the Babylonian. You remember from chapter 2 and verse 6 all the way to the end of the chapter, he gave the fivefold woes against the Babylonians. How he eventually will destroy the proud, arrogant Babylonian, which really represent the whole, you might say, system, the godless system of this world, which deny the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of this world, this is the Lord Yeshua, Jesus, and deny God, deny His Word. And so Babylon become, you might say, a kingdom that represent the godless world, those that reject God. and he's anointed. But at the same time that God promised the destruction of Babylon, he did give to Habakkuk an answer with respect to the godly from among the people of Israel, that you remember in chapter 2 of Habakkuk, in verse 4, he says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Hatzadik in Hebrew, be'emunato yichye. In other words, God is saying to Habakkuk, when the judgment will come, and I will have to discipline now Babylon, the enemies of Israel who would come against Israel. And he really takes Habakkuk all the way throughout the generation to the latter days, not only to the time where Babylon will be destroyed by the Medo-Persians, but he takes him all the way to the last days, and he promised Habakkuk that eventually, if you remember, two verses that we read in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 20, which tells us that God was taking Habakkuk to the final days of the restoration of Israel, the second coming of the Messiah, and the restoration of the whole world. You remember what he said in Habakkuk 2 verse 14? "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And then we read verse 20. "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." Now again, beloved brothers and sisters, if you just in your mind go back throughout history, Habakkuk is giving us this information about his dialogue with God at about 630 B.C. The Jewish people were carried to Babylon. Babylon was destroyed by the Medo-Persian. The Medo-Persian were destroyed by the Greeks. The Greeks were taken over by the Romans. And the Romans reigned and ruled. The Roman Empire ruled during the time when the Messiah, the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, was born. In fact, the Lord Jesus the Messiah was crucified on a Roman cross. And since the time that the Messiah died at his first coming up till today, that is about 2,000 years that have passed by, we still live in that what is known to be as the times of the Gentiles. We cannot say today that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, is filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. It's not so. We can also don't say that the Lord is in his holy temple, because the Lord is not in his holy temple. He is already rejected now for so many years. Since Yeshua the Messiah died on the Roman cross and was buried and rose again, and the assembly, the church, the ecclesia was born, while Israel did not receive the Messiah at his first coming, up till today, there were 2,000 years passed by. And we still cannot say that the earth is filled with the knowledge of the Lord, of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In fact, the earth is still rejecting the Lord and his authority. So now, beloved brothers and sisters, that's how we come into the third chapter of the book of Habakkuk. And in this third chapter, we learn very beautiful lessons that when God said to Habakkuk in chapter 2, when he said to him, "Write the vision," in verse 2, "make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie." What we really learn, that God is intending to fulfill the promises that he has shared with Habakkuk, but not only with Habakkuk, but with the nation of Israel in days of old, since the day of Abraham. Because eventually, God promised a kingdom where the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. where the Lord Himself will be in His holy temple in the Messianic kingdom. And so in the third chapter, Habakkuk received that vision, and now he is, you might say, receiving that vision and multitude of information with respect to the future day and the days that God is eventually going to bring about all that which He had promised. In fact, what we learn from the third chapter, that even though there are many promises that God had given to us, that at the time we do not get a hold of them, or maybe did not come yet to fruition, that ultimately many of the challenges and the problems that we have in our life, eventually they're going to be finalized and dealt with when the Messiah is going to come at His second coming. Now, this is very interesting. We know that the Messiah have already come at His first coming to die and to pay for the sin of this world. You remember what Isaiah have already predicted even before Habakkuk was preaching or speaking to Israel and even having this dialogue with God. Isaiah already predicted in Isaiah chapter 53 that the Messiah will come and that Israel will not accept Him at His first coming. He said, Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquities of us all. He was speaking about the suffering servant who will bear the iniquity of the nation of Israel and the nations of the world. In fact, earlier in Isaiah 53, we read what Isaiah predicted. When Isaiah spoke about the coming Messiah who will be rejected at His first coming and He will ultimately die, that He is despised, verse 3, and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him, and He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem Him as stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgression, He was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripe, and that's the cross, one single stripe of the judgment of God, we are healed. So God had to punish the Messiah for the sin of Israel and the sins of this world. And the Messiah have already came. And of course we know that His name is Yeshua. You remember Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call His name Yeshua, Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And indeed the Messiah came. He was called Yeshua, salvation, and He died on a Roman cross to pay for the sin of this world. But again, beloved brothers and sisters, as we study the third chapter, bear with me. Habakkuk was not even at the time where the Babylonian rose, because he was now in this prophecy, is receiving information about the future day when the Babylonian will come. We do not know exactly when Habakkuk passed away, but even if he was there when the Babylonian came and took the Jewish people captive, in 605, the first deportation, 605 BC, yet, beloved brothers and sisters, what he heard from the Lord was 20, 30 years earlier, before the rise of the Babylonians. So he was not even there. He received prophetic ministry from the Lord. Neither was he there, neither you and I, when the Messiah came. At about 30 AD, when he died on a Roman cross. We were not there, but all this is being presented before us by divine inspiration through the prophet. And Habakkuk is now receiving information that takes us beyond the days of Israel when the Babylonian came, beyond the time where the Messiah, Yeshua, came, was born and raised and died and rose again, beyond the church age, because as far as Habakkuk was concerned, there is no church age, because he doesn't know, it was not revealed to the Hebrew prophet of the age in which you and I live in today. So he takes us, in other words, by the divine inspiration, he takes us over the ages and ages up till the time of the second coming of the Messiah. Not even the first coming of the Messiah, all the way to the second coming of the Messiah. You will notice in this third chapter that God revealed to Habakkuk the coming judgment, and that will happen at the second coming of the Messiah, and the fact that eventually he will restore his people Israel. So now notice that. First of all, in Habakkuk 3 verses 1 and 2 we read, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionot. And notice what Habakkuk is praying. He says, O Lord, I have heard by thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. So, whatever God had said to him in this vision, Habakkuk thought it necessary for him to cry to the Lord in prayer. He is now praying, and you notice it says, the prayer or a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. He is called Navi in Hebrew. Shigionot is interesting because it's like a passionate song of prayer that he is crying to the Lord passionately. He's so much concerned about what he saw in that visions that God had shown unto him. By the way, the word shigayon, it's a singular, is mentioned in Psalm 7 and verse 1, where David gave a psalm that was placed into singing. And here we have shigayonot as well, that Habakkuk, a third chapter will become like a song of a cry to God and a praise to God for what is about to happen in the latter days. Remember that Habakkuk didn't know when will the day of God's sending the Messiah at his second coming. You and I do not know either when Yeshua is going to come at his second coming. One thing we do know, that the Bible teaches us, the Hebrew Scriptures, the Tanakh, the Brit HaChadashah, the New Testament, teaches us that the Messiah will come. Scripture is very clear. He that shall come and will not tarry. Hebrews chapter 10. Acts chapter 1, this same Jesus, this same Yeshua which is taken from you shall come again. The prophets of Israel promised not only the first coming of the Messiah, but also the second coming of the Messiah. So, notice what Habakkuk is now praying. In a sense, it was a prayer that he's put into singing, but with a passion, with a real burden for what is going to happen. On the one hand, the judgment of God, but also on the other hand, the restoration of Israel from those that will seek to harm the nation of Israel. So he said, O Lord, verse 2, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. That word for afraid is yariti. It's not so much fear in the sense of being scared, but there is a reverential view towards God and God's promises to Habakkuk. And when God told him about coming days, when judgment is going to come, so Habakkuk immediately asking the Lord in verse 2. He says, Lord, he says, revive thy work in the midst of the years, and in the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. Now that word here, in the midst of the years, mentioned once here, and the word in the midst of the years, be'emtza hashanim, in other words, is looking forward to the time in which the Messiah will come at his second coming, and he's going to come in judgment. And so he's asking that in the midst of the years when the judgment is coming, he says, God, Lord, he says, revive your work in the midst of the years. In other words, he wanted the work of God, the work of restoration of Israel, the work of grace in the hearts of the nation, will eventually, that Israel as a nation will be revived and that God will restore his people. He continued, notice that in verse 2, and he said, in the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. He's crying to the Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Berogez rachem tizkor. In other words, he's asking the Lord to remember mercy in a time of wrath. Isn't it true, beloved brothers and sisters, when problems comes our way and when God had to deal with judgment, how we always long for mercy and forgiveness and that God will have mercy on us. And to remember this, it is in every period of time in human history, we always are to look at the mercy of the Lord and to seek His mercy in every generation, whether it was in the days of Habakkuk, when he was having this dialogue with God and he asked for mercy upon Israel during the days of the tribulation period. You and I today, during the days of the church age, the assembly age, we too need to ask for God's mercy. And how wonderful it is that God indeed is a merciful God, is a gracious God. We read in Scripture, by grace are ye saved. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. God is a gracious God who loves to restore His people. So Habakkuk is turning to God in prayer, and he asks Him, in the midst of these years, and really, in the midst of the tribulation period, you remember, brothers and sisters, that there will be 7 years of Jacob's trouble, 7 years of tribulation, in which God is going to refine Israel and judge this world in righteousness. So Habakkuk is pleading with the Lord and asking Him that in mercy, in the midst of the judgment, that He will have mercy upon the nation of Israel. And let me just remind you, beloved brothers and sisters, that the prophets did say that there will be a day coming, that there will be a terrible, terrible day of judgment. You remember what Jeremiah said in chapter 30. We read in verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 30 about this future event. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with a child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. This is Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 5, 6, and 7. Well, the tribulation will come, and we know very well that these terrible days of tribulation was also predicted by our Lord Yeshua Himself, the Messiah, in Matthew chapter 24, before He went to the cross to die for the sin of this world. Yeshua said in Matthew 24, there in verse, notice this, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, there is a day coming. Habakkuk is telling us about these days in these second and third chapter, the tribulation period. Daniel will say later on in Daniel chapter 9 about these days. Jeremiah in the 30th chapter said about this tribulation. Yeshua the Messiah has said about this tribulation. And in the book of the Revelation, we read in chapter 16 and chapter 19, all these chapters that deal with the tribulation period. 7 years in which God will judge this world in righteousness when He will come finally to deliver this world into judgment, restore the nation of Israel, lead the rest of the nations of the world who will believe in the Lord Jesus the Messiah unto salvation, and establish a messianic kingdom, the promise, a kingdom that He had promised in the Hebrew Scriptures. Well, now that Habakkuk, who saw that vision, who besieged the Lord in the midst of the years known, and that in his wrath remember mercy, from here now on, from all the way from verse 3 to verse 15, now God again reveals to Habakkuk, and Habakkuk displays this before us. In a sense, in his dialogue with God, he displays this, so you and I, by the help of the Holy Spirit of God, by divine inspiration, will be able to discern and to learn what will happen at now the second coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Again, let me remind you that Habakkuk do not know about the church age. He doesn't see the time in which you and I live in today. He doesn't see the ecclesia. All what he sees, that God will take Israel away captive by the Babylonian, and that eventually God will punish the Babylonian, which really represent the system of this world which deny Him, and eventually will restore and save His people Israel. It's like the two mountains, beloved brothers and sisters. Mountains one is the first coming of the Messiah. Mountain two is the second coming of the Messiah. And in between the two mountains, we have the present day church age. Please remember that you cannot mix what God promised to Israel and what God promised to the assembly, the ecclesia. Israel the nation is Israel the nation. The church, the assembly, the ecclesia is the assembly, the ecclesia. Two distinct entities, yet both are called by God, and both are called to be an earthly company, an earthly nation, Israel, and a heavenly nation or a heavenly people, the assembly, the church, the ecclesia. So, beloved brothers and sisters, now, from verse 3 to verse 15 of this third chapter of Habakkuk, Habakkuk displays before us what God had shared with him about the future judgment, the future wrath, and the future mercy that will come to pass at the second coming of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who already came once to die, to pay for the sin of this world. And so you notice, beloved brothers and sisters, let me just read you a verse in Acts chapter 1, and I think this verse is good for us to read. After Yeshua, the Messiah, finished the work of redemption, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. We read these very interesting two verses in Acts 1, verse 10 and 11. He was carried to heaven, back to the Father, back to glory where he came from. And we read, while they looked, this is the Jewish apostles from Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, on Mount Olives. When they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Yeshua, Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In other words, he's going to come in the same manner. He was carried to heaven, and he will come from heaven down to earth at the second coming to deal with the enemies of Israel and to restore Israel back to himself. And so you notice as we moving along in chapter 3 and verse 3, 4 and 5, we see in these three verses that the Messiah, this is God, remember the Lord Yeshua, God the Son who became a man, he is coming now. And we read here in verse 3, God came from Teman and from Mount Paran. And here, God is presenting before us the glory of the Lord at his second coming. Let me read verse 3. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had rays, it says his horns in the King James. He had rays coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and the burning coals went forth at his feet. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, in verses 3, 4, and 5 of this third chapter, we see the second coming of the Messiah, and you notice, scripture says, God came from Teman, the Holy One, from Mount Paran, Selah. And notice it says, His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. In other words, when God, in the person of the Messiah, gonna come at His second coming, everyone will recognize who he is and will recognize the Shekinah, the Shekhinah, the authority and the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. This is fascinating when we read this passage. Notice again, and I'm reading this once again. He says, God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. Notice the word glory, and the word for glory is coming from the Hebrew word hod, and the word praise coming from the Hebrew hadah or tehillah, hodo ve-tehillato. All the glory of the Lord will be shining forth, and He will be, you might say, coming in His power and His authority at the second coming. It was the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1 who said in verse 7, Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierce Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. All the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. He's coming. He's coming again, but this time, He's coming with power. He's coming with authority. Notice that the scripture tells us in this third chapter, verse 3 and 4, He's coming with glory. His glory covered the heavens. In verse 3b, it says that His praise will cover the earth. The whole earth will be full of His praise. This is a description of what ultimately the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, will receive at His second coming. But still, it will only happen at the end of the tribulation rather than at the beginning of the tribulation. Because you notice what it says in verse 4, In verse 5, his brightness was the light. And then it says, was as the light. And he says, the rays, and had rays coming out of his hand. And there was the hinding of his power. In other words, he's coming in power. The hiding of his power. In other words, everything that he come with is presenting his authority and his power. All these brightness and light and rays will exhibit the power of the Lord. And remember, beloved brothers and sisters, that when the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is going to come at his second coming, he is coming to defeat the enemies of Israel. He is coming to defeat the world that rejected him. He is coming to deal with the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people. So this brightness and light and rays represent his power and authority. In verse 5 it said, before him went the pestilence, and the burning coals went forth at his feet. Pestilence and burning coals represent the judgment that he will pour upon this world that he so much rejected him and so much have gone against his people. Again, if you see the context, in the context we see Babylon taking the Jewish people to Babylon. And in the context we see Babylon, which is really representing Babylon the Great, the ones that are rejecting God, they eventually will represent, you might say, the whole system of this world that reject God. And while Babylon have taken Israel, this, you might say, the kingdom of Babylon that took the Jewish people to Babel initially, here we come to the time where this Babylon is becoming Babylon the Great, the mystery Babylon, this rejecting nations of the world that will reject the Messiah and inflict sorrow upon the people of God. Well, if we move along in the next verses, you will notice in verses 6 and 7, look at the results of the second coming of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Well, when he going to come, and he going to come in power and in authority, we learn in verses 6 and 7 that Israel's enemy will be defeated, and that the Habakkuk see that the nations who afflicted Israel will eventually be afflicted themselves. You notice it says in verses 6 and 7, he stood, this is the Messiah, this is God, this is Yeshua the Messiah, God the Son. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. See, Habakkuk, dear brothers and sisters, looking forward by, again, divine inspiration, as he see that vision by the Lord, from the Lord, he looked forward to the future day, and what does he see? That the Lord, that God, in the person of the Son, the Messiah himself, at the second coming, he measured the earth, and he drove asunder the nations. And if it says here, the everlasting mountains, the nation who thought that they will be for eternity here, and there will be these perpetual hills, that they will build these, you might say, these Babylon the Great, the nations of the world will build its own kingdom without God. Eventually, he, the Messiah, the Lord Yeshua, will destroy them, and he will set them aside. It says here, at the end of verse 6, that his ways are everlasting. Not their ways. They thought that they have these everlasting mountains. They thought that there will be the perpetual hills. but eventually they will bow, and they will have to be defeated by the Messiah, God the Son, Yeshua the Messiah. Then it says in verse 7, I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. Habakkuk sees some of the nations that are being afflicted and trembling from fear because the second coming of the Messiah. What a sight it is, beloved brothers and sisters, to see, as Habakkuk gives us a description of the future day of the tribulation period. Well, we continue to read in the next verses, verses 8 on, to all the way to verse 11, we see that Habakkuk can see by divine inspiration the reason whereby God have to act in such a way. He is going to deal with this world in righteousness and deliver his people Israel from their enemies. And so notice that, brothers and sisters, in verse 8 and verse 9, all the way to verse 11, was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? The question, of course, is asked, what is the reason that God came in such a severe judgment upon the rivers and the seas and so on? And the enemies of God's people? Well, the answer comes in verse 9. No, he did not come in such a severe way to deal with the nations of the world, just like that, and especially not to deal with the rivers and the seas in such a way. No, but sin, of course, brought about the necessity to punish this world in righteousness. But also, beloved brothers and sisters, God made a covenant. God made an oath, a promises to his people Israel. He chose the nation of Israel to be a nation that through them he will bring the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer for the world, and that ultimately through the nation of Israel, blessings will flow to all the nations of the world. So God made a promise. It's not that Israel made a promise to God and kept it. No, God made a promise to God, to Israel, and he's going to keep it. He made the Abrahamic covenant with Abraham. He made the Davidic covenant with David. He made the land covenant with Israel to give them the land. He made the new covenant, the Brit HaChadashah, with the household of Judah and Israel, as it is written in Jeremiah chapter 31. God made promises. And so verse 9 tells us, it's so interesting. Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oath of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Notice that word for oath. It's a very interesting word. It's plural. And it's shvu'ah is singular. Shvu'ot is plural in Hebrew. God made a promise. God swore. Meaning making a promise. He made a promise to Abraham, and he made a promise to David. Let me read you the promise that he made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 15. Very interesting promise that he made to Abraham. If you remember when Abraham was offering his son Isaac, seeking to obey the word of the Lord, and he fulfilled the requirement of the Lord, he was ready to offer his only son, Yitzchak, Isaac. And you remember God did not allow him because God did not want Yitzchak, God wanted Abraham. But in Genesis, the same place, in Genesis 22, verse 15, God said to Abraham these words. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and has not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. In verse 18, God said, and in thy seed, this is the Messiah, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. God made an oath. God nishba. In Hebrew we say shvuot. He made plurality of promises to the people of Israel that he will ultimately bring blessing to the nation of Israel, and ultimately the nations of the world will enjoy the future restoration in a coming day. He also, beloved brothers and sisters, made promises to David in the 2 Samuel chapter 7. I want to read to you a verse from the Psalm, Psalm 132, verse 11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David this time. He will not turn it from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. We read this in Psalm 132, verse 11 to 14. This is God's desire. This is not even Israel's desire. This is God's desire. Though obviously, anyone who have a heart for God desire this, any of the nation of Israel desire this to be fulfilled, because God made it, promised it, and will bring it to pass in due time. So we continue, beloved brothers and sisters, we go back to Habakkuk chapter 3. Is Habakkuk prayer for mercy in the midst of the coming judgment of the tribulation. And so Habakkuk 3 present before us the tribulation time when judgment will come upon the nations of the world. And so we read, beloved brothers and sisters, now in the next verses, in verses 10 and 11, the mountains saw thee and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. You see, brothers and sisters, when the Messiah is going to come at his second coming, things will occur here on earth. It was not that God found displeasure with the rivers and with the seas, not, but there will be consequence that will affect the rivers and the seas. But not only that, because the mountains saw the coming of the Messiah and will see at the second coming. The waters was overflowing, water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hand on high, and even the sun and the moon stood still at their habitation, at the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Notice that, arrows and spear. And we find here that God is coming in judgment through the person of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, at his second coming. This same Jesus, this same Yeshua will come again. And when he's going to come, he's going to come in power and authority at the second coming, beloved brothers and sisters. This is fascinating when we really think about the second coming of the Messiah, when he is going to come in power and glory. Daniel, a little bit later on, said this after he was taken to Babel with the Jewish people by the Babylonian. He said, I saw, this is Daniel chapter 7 verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Day, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel, the Hebrew prophet, have looked forward by divine design, by revelation from the angel of the Lord through the visions that he received concerning the second coming of the Messiah. He is called the Son of Men in Daniel 7:13. Ben Ha'adam. This is one of the messianic titles that was given concerning the person of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. We read Revelation 1 verse 7. Behold, he cometh with cloud, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. This is the second coming of the Messiah, beloved brothers and sisters. We read in Revelation chapter 19 also, in verse 11, and I saw heavens open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. This is the Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, who was coming in his second coming to reign and rule. But first of all, during the tribulation, he will pour the wrath of God. And at the end of the tribulation, he will come in power and glory and defeat the enemies of the people of Israel. I would like you just to notice now. And now these last verses, verses 12 to 15, you notice that he will come and he will eventually defeat the false Messiah, the counterfeit Messiah. We call him the Antichrist. Anti is not only against the Messiah, against Mashiach, but the one that seek to be like the Messiah and to take the place of the Messiah, to take the place of Christ. Listen to these last verses for this ministry today, verses 12, 13, 14, and 15. And here Habakkuk, the embracer of Israel, described the total victory of the Messiah over the false Messiah, the counterfeit Messiah, when he's going to come at his second coming. Look at these verses. We read in verse 12 to 15, really you will notice that the word you, or thou, it is all of him, it is all of God, it is all of God and the Messiah himself, not man, not Israel, nobody, it's all of God. Notice how many times Habakkuk used the word you or thou. I'm reading verse 12. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked, by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Thou didst strike through with his stave the head of his villages. They came out as whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses through the heap of great waters. Beloved brothers and sisters, in these last verses, we see how when the Messiah is going to come, the Lord Yeshua the Messiah is going to come at His second coming, He will totally destroy the counterfeit Messiah and those that follow after Him who came against the people of Israel, His chosen people whom He came to save. And so we read in verse 12, especially you notice that in this verse you can see, Thou didst march through the land in indignation, Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. It's like someone is passing through a field and threshing the whole field with a machine, as if it were, and here is the Messiah coming, and He destroys all those heathen, that the goyim, the nation that came against the nation of Israel. And notice verse 13, very interesting verse, because He says in verse 13 that the Lord is the one who came to save. Lehoshia, in Hebrew the word save, salvation. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. Notice, who is thy people? This is the people of Israel. And God came through the person of the Messiah, Yeshua, who is now coming out of glory, as we read in Revelation chapter 19, and verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judge and make war. Here he is coming to save his people Israel. He already provided his blood when he died on that Roman cross years earlier at his first coming. Now he is coming to deliver his people Israel, who will ultimately recognize that Yeshua is indeed that promised Messiah. And so we find out, it says that verse 13 is a beautiful verse. You went forth for salvation of your people, even the salvation with thine anointed. Israel was anointed by God to become the chosen nation, Meshichecha. Notice he doesn't say here Mashiach, but Meshichecha, the anointed ones in relation to the nation. The nation of Israel was anointed by God to be His people, and through them blessing will come to this world. But Israel departed, and God had to restore the nation. And that's why it says that the Lord came out as if it were from heaven, and now to judge the world and its enemies, the enemies of God, and to restore the nation of Israel. Notice what it says in verse 13b, Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked. This head is this counterfeit Messiah, of whom we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that God is eventually going to destroy him at His coming. I want to read to you this verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 5, we read 2 Thessalonians 2, 5, Remember ye not that when I was with you I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Notice that. He will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, this is that Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Satan is a liar who will be the one that will influence the world to follow after the Antichrist. And when Yeshua the Messiah, the true Christ, the true Messiah will come, it says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, once the head, which is the Antichrist, the counterfeit Messiah, will be destroyed, we read in Habakkuk 3 and verse 13, it said, by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. In other words, all the way from the head down to the foundation, the rest of the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel, will be destroyed. And then we read the last two verses of Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Thou didst strike through with his stave the head of his village. They came out of the whirlwind to scatter me. The rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly, but notice, but thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses through the heap of great waters. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, as Habakkuk is receiving that vision from God concerning the future day of the tribulation period, he's looking and spreading, as it were, before us what he received from the Lord in the first 15 verses of this third chapter of Habakkuk. And he described how he wanted God to provide mercy in the midst of the years of this tribulation period for the nation of Israel. As he said in verse 2, O Lord, he says, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known, in rest remember mercy. And then from verses 3 all the way to verse 15 of this third chapter of Habakkuk, Habakkuk is presenting, you might say, or displaying, or presenting that which he have learned from the Lord by this vision that he received, that eventually, in the future, God will come in final judgment and wrath during the tribulation, but he eventually will provide mercy and grace for his people. And so verse 13 of Habakkuk 3 is a beautiful verse. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. God have thought to have Israel as a people that would be restored. And the people, you notice the word for thy people is the Hebrew word amcha. Amcha is a am, singular, shelcha, your nation, your people, your nation. And Habakkuk was concerned for the ultimate salvation of the people of Israel. Initially, he was concerned for Israel because there was also the violence among the people of Israel. But now at the end of the book, the third chapter, is concerned for the salvation of Israel and the restoration of Israel, that God showed mercy and grace to the nation of Israel. And sure enough, we know that from other passages of Scripture, that Israel eventually will recognize that Yeshua indeed is the Messiah. And if you remember beautifully, and I'm going to finalize this message with Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad Rimon in the valley of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart. all the families that remain, every family apart in, and their wives apart. Chapter 13 and verse 1. In that day, Zechariah 13 verse 1, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. It is then and there, beloved brothers and sisters, at the end of the tribulation period, that Israel will recognize that Yeshua is indeed the Messiah, the Redeemer, and they, as we read through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 11 and verse 26, and all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. What a wonderful future is waiting, but not before the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period, when there will be a sad experience here in this world. But if you are a believer in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah today, you and I who belong to the heavenly company will be taken out of here before the tribulation period will begin. And I trust that as you listen to this message on Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 to 15, you will pause and consider your need of the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, who loved us and gave himself for us. May the Lord bless his word. Can you say amen to this?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.